Sermon on the Mount here in the upcoming weeks. Let's see here, announcements. Faith Promise, which is wonderful. If you have some Faith Promise commitments you want, the offering plate tonight will give you a final total. I know there's still a couple more that said that they're coming in. Business meeting tonight at service. That's when we'll talk about missions and a couple other outreach Saturday coming up April 1st and April 29th. Super Saturday, 8th. Super Saturday, please let 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then on the 9th is our sunrise service. That's at 6:45 a.m. on Resurrection Sunday morning. And then our Resurrection Sunday program, 10 o'clock. We'll have some cards here for you by Wednesday. They will start passing those out the 2.5-3 weeks ahead of time. Also, family conference is coming up May 12th through the 14th. Both Roger Pauly and Scott Pauly will be here. This is in place of our spring revival, and we'll give some details about that as we get a little bit closer to that. But really looking forward to that. Okay, so this title of this morning's message is Discipled by Jesus. Discipled by Jesus. So different people use that word disciple in different ways. Sometimes you'll look at somebody and you'll hear them say, hey, I'm a disciple, or I'm a follower, or I'm this or that. Sometimes you think about maybe in the sports world, there's a guy out there called Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick supposedly is one of the best coaches of all time. I'm not a fan, but they have people that are like disciples of his, or they've learned under Bill Belichick that he's a pupil of. You know, they try to do the same things and similar things like Bill Belichick would. Or, you know, I learned under this person on how to do this, or I learned under that person. And sometimes that's what they use the word disciple about. It's the idea, hey, I learned how to preach under this individual, or this was my person who discipled me, and this is why I do what I do. And that's not just when it comes to spiritual things or other things. See somebody build a house, you can see, hey, he learned that from this type of builder because they do things the same way. And in this idea about being discipled by Jesus, that's what I believe that he's doing with his here. He's taking and he's preaching, and you see that he spends most of his time with these 12. You watch, and we all like hearing about the stories. The multitude came, and there was a large multitude, and Jesus 3,000, or Jesus did that, or did that, did this. But in the story, you see him oftentimes spending time specifically with the 12 or people who were interested in being disciples. He turns away from ministering to what we would think, man, there's a great big crowd there. That's the people we need to go after. And instead, he focuses on discipling a smaller number. Why would he do that? It's because it can be more effective by reaching, discipling the few, so that way the few can go out to help reach the multitudes. And my challenge or my encouragement today is to make sure we let Jesus disciple us. Now, we started a new discipleship class with an individual on a regular basis, try to get key people through discipleship class. This happens on Tuesday nights. There's a lady, me and my wife are discipling, we're going through, and I think most you would understand what that is. Some of you have gone through that. We've gone through it as a church, so that way we could teach others also. Sometimes it involves a book. We use a continue book from Lancaster, and it goes through the basic Bible knowledge. And you go through 13, 14 weeks. You learn about what salvation looks like, what baptism looks like. You learn what outreach looks like. You learn what the basics when it comes to the second coming. You learn about giving. You learn about being faithful. You learn you're discipled. You spend 3 or 4 something, and it takes time, it takes energy. And when that person is done, say, okay, we've gone through this course. If you're interested, you've learned the basic Bible doctrines that our church believes and stands for. Now you have this knowledge. Now you can take this knowledge and give it to someone else. But that is where you stop when it comes to discipleship. We all know and all learned that the rest of our lives, it's God's is that we would continue to grace and Jesus Christ. It's not just making it through discipleship class, and sometimes people give out certificates, and sometimes people say, you're completed, you're done, you don't have to learn anything else. Why do you come to church then 3 to 4 times a week? It's because we're always learning, we're always growing, we're always doing this, we're always doing that. And so I want you to understand that my interest is not that you would be a disciple of Pastor Pease, but that you would let Jesus disciple you. Well, how in the world am I going to let Jesus disciple me? He's up in heaven. You know that? I understand that. But from his teachings. And they're so much more than just the basic. And most Sunday school here, look across the room, most people have been part of a church for a while, and most people have been schoolers probably more than once. And you understand, many of us understand basic doctrines. But there's four levels that continues on, continues growing. And when you come to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is here and he is teaching them. He is discipling them. He is giving them challenges that they've never heard. Talking to them, and he's telling them things like, be, and like it says in chapter 5, verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? And that's, he's talking to these individuals and he's saying, look, these are how you're going to grow as a believer. And the challenges that are found in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, they're unlike anything they ever. Instead of worrying like the religious leaders did, they would worry about the outward things, but never really give much intention. Spend, you're going to see verse after verse after verse after verse that he's talking about. It's more important about who you are than what you're doing. Because many people say, well, if you do this and do this and do that, everything's going to be just fine. But it's more important about who we are and the reason why we do these things. And that's why he challenges them. He goes in, and like I said, some really challenging looks there. And at the end, At the end of the message, which most would call this mount, it says, it came to pass in chapter, at the end of verse chapter 7, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, thought them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished, number one, at his doctrine. Number two, the fact that he spoke with authority. He didn't speak as the ones like the scribes did. So I want you, as we look at this and as we go through these Beatitudes, and I'm, you know, right now that's all we're going to do in the next probably 12 weeks as we go through verses 1 through 12 in chapter, is let the Lord teach some things he thinks is important. He is sitting down. He's sitting down with his disciples. He's having a conversation. He is teaching them some powerful truths. Truths that you don't always hear taught. Now, once again, obviously there's points to this and it's going to bring out, but these are things that he thought was important. He said, Pastor, discipleship is great. Discipleship's wonderful, but it's time consuming. It takes time. It's, I mean, you don't know how many times we start off with discipleship one and they make it through chapter 5 or chapter 6. It is hard for some people to say, I'm going to give up an hour every single week for the teacher and also for whoever the disciple to give up an hour and a half on an evening time every single week for 13 or 14 weeks for a new believer or someone that, an immature believer at least. And some that they're like, no, I can't do that. That's too much. It's too much of a rush. Pastors, too much. You want me to work with somebody that long, that much for 14 weeks in a row? Don't you know what my schedule's already like? And the answer is yes, we do know. But I thought this was interesting. Thinking about how busy Jesus must have been. You think about God became man. And how long did he live? Anybody know? Approximately? 33, a little bit over 33 years. I know some young people are, all, most of us are over 33. So we had more time than Jesus had. And you think about it, in his ministry, most of us know that Jesus began his earthly ministry at what age? 30. So for 3.5 years, Jesus invests his life in these people. 3.5 years. Many of us have many more years than 3.5 years. But you think about it, in those 3.5 years, we know all the different things he did and did all the things he accomplished. And we think about all the great miracles he did and all the things we are in him. But what did he spend probably the majority of his time doing? He invested in these 12. And even more than just the 12, those that were called disciples. And I'm not saying we shouldn't care about the multitudes, because we definitely should. But the greater way that we can reach the multitudes is when we allow Jesus to affect our hearts through Jesus' teaching, through Jesus' preaching. So instead of just one going out and trying to reach the multitudes, you'll have many. Sort of like Jesus there. He's leaving after 3.5 years. He knew he had to train 12 different individuals. He had to train more people. So, and what did those 12 do? It says those 12 went and they turned the world upside down. And it was more than just learning basic Bible doctrines. He expressed, he preached, he taught something that was more interested in the inward than the exterior. Because if the inward is right, the exterior is going to be okay. If the interior is right inside, exterior is going to come wrong. But here, and it says here, and let's pick up in chapter 4, Matthew 4. Let's go ahead and start off in verse 23. And once again, this is kind of an introductory lesson to these beatitudes or being discipled by Jesus. Verse 23, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee," and look what it says, "teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And it says, "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, those that had the palsy, and he healed them." Look, it says, "And there followed him a great multitude." Now look at that, great multitudes. I mean, he has a following. A people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. If you went out and you studied the idea of how far away Syria is and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and Jordan, some of these people came a very long distance. There are some great needs there found in verse 24. And you see what happens in verse chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Now, here's what I'm saying. It's kind of interesting. Never really thought about it before. It's not saying the disciples are only the 12, but it's saying that all these people were here. There's a large group. But what does he spend time doing? It says he takes time to sit down, and what does he do? He says in verse number 2, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." So he is discipling his disciples. And once again, they're called disciples. So if you had a question, what is a disciple? Many of us have learned about this, but sometimes I don't know if we wrap our head completely around it. People like to say, "I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ," and there's a difference between being a follower and being a disciple. A disciple is one who will actually learn from the man he's learning from or the woman he's learning from. He's not just a follower, he's actually a learner. He is adhering to the teachings of the other. As I mentioned before, there was sometimes people would say that guy's a disciple of that coach, whether it's Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots coach, and they had different guys that broke off and began coaching other teams, and they all said he learned from Bill Belichick. Well, not everybody does it just like Bill Belichick, and some of the guys do it completely different. So you can't really say he's a disciple. He said he might have learned under him, but if they're not going to do things the same way, then they're not really a disciple. And there are a lot of people out there today that say, "Hey, I'm a follower of Jesus," but they don't take the time to learn. You're going to see some challenging things here when you read these verses. Some of these things are going to take, if you look down at verse number 12. Verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So what are they rejoicing about? Well, look what it says in verse number 11. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He's saying, "Hey, look, this is when," and that word blessed means being happy, meaning being in a spot that God can supremely use you in your life. He says, "This is what you're going to find is true happiness." He says, "When you learn that when men revile you, when they persecute you, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," he says, "when you say those things, you can rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." He says, don't listen to what they're saying. Don't let it change you. Rejoice in the fact that you're suffering for Jesus' sake. I mean, who does that? But that's what he's there. He's trying to teach them. He's taking time. I don't know how many mentors you've had in your life, but he's taking time to sit with them and say, "Hey, this is what I want you to think about. This is truly what's going to bring you happiness." Some people think, well, if I do this, this is going to bring me happiness. If I do that, that's going to bring me happiness. And Jesus doesn't try to teach a wealth and prosperity gospel. Jesus doesn't even go out there and say, hey, this is how I want you to win the loss. He says, this is what's going to bring true happiness. These are the things that if you will learn to focus on, this is where you find a joy that the world cannot touch. Even if you're being reviled, even if you're being persecuted. And he goes and he gives these different challenges. So what is a disciple? I think a disciple is one who not only follows, but he learns and becomes like the teacher. He becomes like the teacher. He says that's a person, a disciple, because you know why? They do the things the way that Jesus did them. You think about where were they called Christians first? It was Antioch. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and when he found them, he brought them unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, why were they called Christians first in Antioch? Because they looked like Christ. And they might have considered it, they might have been trying to be insulting to them. Look, they're just like little Christ. But what greater compliment can you have? You think about when they were there and then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I mean, they're saying there's something different about these two. And I remember these two. Jesus acted the same way. They took knowledge because of the things that they were saying and the things that were doing. They did not become God, obviously. They became a disciple. They followed after what Jesus had taught them, and they looked like him. They acted like him. Now, obviously, physically, you may not look like them, but they act like them. Sometimes you hear certain preachers, and you hear different preachers that go from different colleges, and they come from certain different areas, and you go out there and you hear them preach and says, hey, that guy reminds me of that person. He preaches like his father. He preaches like the president of the Bible college he went to. I don't think there's anything wrong because they've learned a certain style, and they learned certain things. There's nothing particularly wrong with that. But boy, I would rather have somebody say, hey, that's somebody that looks like Jesus. That as acts and surrendered his life, and that's that they're Christ-like. And you say, so how do you do that? You don't have Jesus sitting here physically with you one-on-one teaching. You don't, but you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have his teachings already, and he has already given you promise after promise after promise that's found in his word. This is how you can become like him. But so many times we just like, no. So what is a disciple? What is a disciple? It's someone who actually is a learner, but not just someone who learns, but someone who adheres to the teaching of others. He learns under a certain person, and he begins to do things the same way they did because they learned that. What is discipleship? Discipleship is a process in which we teach others to follow Jesus Christ. And we talked about the book of the discipleship. It says in Matthew chapter 18, 28, verses 19, 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy, of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we all know that. Teaching them what? Teaching about salvation, baptizing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So we call discipleship is we bring out somebody, we sit down with someone, we spend time with them, and we say, okay, these are the things that are basic Bible doctrines that help you understand what our church believes and help get you grounded in your faith. But it doesn't just say teaching you to do whatsoever is the basics. It says whatsoever I've commanded you. He says, I'm teaching, you're going to go out there and you're going to learn all of me. He wants him to learn all the different things. And when people skip over the Sermon on the Mount, sometimes it's because the challenges that are there, it's like we're overwhelmed by it and say, who can do these things? None of us can, but we can learn from Christ. And as we learn from Christ, we can desire these things, and he can build these things up in our hearts and build these things up in our life. Let's look at what some of these Beatitudes say in First Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You'll notice that there is a particular attribute, and then there's a reward. The poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, all manner of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You read those things, and we're probably going to take one verse per week and just go down those things and help us understand what the poor in spirit is. Why would we do that? Because God said this is where you're going to find the happiness and the joy it's at. So many Christians have gone and they've lost sight of what his teachings are. They've listened to discipleship from other people who maybe got lost eyes of awful that we want people to turn out like Christ instead of turning out like me. And so often that's what people are doing. Hey, it works for me, so let me go ahead and teach you the things that work for me. And yes, we can instruct people and show them the things that help us, but we must always point people to Christ. We must always see the challenges that are there. Oftentimes we leave off certain things when we're discipling somebody, the things that maybe we struggle with, the things that we don't feel comfortable talking about because we have our own struggles with them. But no. Jesus, if you want Jesus to disciple you, that means we're going to look at the whole list. We're going to look at what he says. So he sits down and he sees this. So I want you to see here in verse number 1, it says, and seeing the multitudes. Now, what could he have done with the multitudes? I mean, he could have gone out and he could have healed all the people. And maybe he did. Some preachers, you go through, some preachers read chapter 4 and they think, well, he turned their back on the multitude and went and taught first. I kind of get the impression that's what he's there. He's putting a priority into teaching and preaching. But also at the same time, I don't think he's turning back on people that are sick, but he's putting a priority that's there. He sees there's great multitudes out there. He sees there's people that are in need. But you know what he still takes time to do? He takes time to teach others. We can't look past the fact that there's millions and billions out there that need Christ, and we need to continue on being a witness. Stop trying to reach people for Christ. But when you reach someone for Christ, we must learn to disciple them. We must learn to point them to Christ. We must learn them to the things that Christ taught us. We don't want just a bunch of immature baby believers. We want them to learn and them to grow so they can go out and they can win also. And discipleship is a key. But why is it not a priority today? Why is it not a priority? I think we all see this, that if there's 8 billion people in the world and I can't reach all 8 billion of them, but I can reach one, and if I reach that one and I disciple that one, and next year each of us reach two and we disciple those two and you keep on going, that the world can be reached for the Lord in a very short period of time. But why is it not? Discipleship takes time. It does. It's painstaking sometimes. You ever work with somebody and try to get them, encourage them in their faith? Sometimes they disappoint you. Sometimes they fail you. Sometimes they turn their back on you. Sometimes they make up whatever excuse it is not to come and be a part of it. It takes time. It takes energy. And I think about how precious Jesus was to these 12, how Jesus taught these 12. And he says when he saw these multitudes, what does he do? It says he went up to the mountain in verse number 1, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. I think about that and say, what is he going to do? He goes up there, he sits up there, and anyone who wants to learn can come and learn. And I think that's still the truth today. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. And he's there. The message is always come. You can learn. I've given you this word. I've given you prayer. I've given you the Holy Spirit of God. I've given you all these things. If you want to learn, come listen to what I have to teach you. And this is what Jesus says. He comes and he's there and the multitudes are there. And they come and it says, and when the disciples came, and you see that what he says, his disciples came unto him. I think it's referring more than 12, but even it's just the 12. If there was multitudes down there, he stops to teach a small group of people who says, I want to learn of you. I want to know you. I want to understand what you're saying because I want to become like you. I'm not learning just so that way I can pick and choose whether or not I want to become like you. No. I'm coming and I'm listening because I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And what it says in verse number 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And then once again, he's there and he's preaching, he's teaching, he sits down and he has a conversation with them. Doesn't get the idea. Once again, I love preaching. I love hard preaching. I love preaching we heard last week. I like loud preaching. I like soft preaching. I like anything that's spirit-led and spirit-ordained. I like all preaching. But he's there and it says he sat down mouth and taught them, saying. So why isn't discipleship a priority today? I think discipleship takes time. He ordained the 12, it says in Mark 3:14, he ordained the 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So when he called the disciples at the Gospel of Mark, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark on Sundays, he says he ordained the 12. What did he ordain the 12 to do? To be with them. They had to spend time with him. There is no substitution for spending time with the Lord. And he teaches us that. He said, Pastor, I'm not. Then you're just not a disciple. We should all desire it. We should all want to be a desire. Can you imagine someone saying, I trust you with my soul for hell, but I don't want to learn about you. I don't know if that really is something that's a challenge here that makes me wonder whether or not you really ever got it, or maybe you've just gotten over your salvation. But that moment that we were saved, that moment we turned to God, it was fresh, it was new, exciting. Teach me more, give me more, give me more. But discipleship is not a priority today, number one, because it takes time. And you think about it, we need to learn how to take time. We had to take time with others. And sometimes it takes time to teach somebody something. Mr. Don one time tried to teach me how to change my oil. You remember that, Mr. Don? I'm not very good with tools. You know, after that one time, never happened again. Why is that? Because he didn't want to teach me again and again because I didn't learn anything. No, but the idea is sometimes we take time to teach other people things. He's been very patient many times, and other people have taken time to say, hey, this is how you do this, this, and this. And sometimes twice, three times, four times, it takes time to do that. Teaching my sons how to play basketball. When they got better, don't tell them that I said that, because I stopped playing them one-on-one when I realized I started getting harder to beat them. They still have never beaten me, but I just tell them I don't want to embarrass them anymore. But it took time out there to teach them how to dribble and teach them how to pass, teach them how to shoot, teach them how to rebound, teach them how to do all those things. And they had other coaches that helped them, and then they went and learned, and they play, you know, intramural at their college sports. What I was willing to take the time to show them how to play sports. We need to learn to make sure we're discipling our children. We really do. They need to learn, our children and our grandchildren. We cannot keep on giving ourselves so much to teach them certain things, but forget them to teach them the most important. Deuteronomy 6 says it this way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now listen, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What is it saying? Discipleship takes time. Whether you're sitting down or whether you're walking, whether you're lying down, whether you're eating, it should always have something to do with discipling them and trying to help them understand who Jesus is. Number two, the reason why discipleship is not always put as a priority, number one, is because of the fact that it takes time. It does take time. Pastor, you don't know how busy I am. I got all these things going on. I got work and I got this extracurricular thing, this extracurricular thing. And then we have church. And church, we had tons of activities. We had tons of things that I'm expected to do. To be at all these church services and all these different activities, my time is limited. Remember, Jesus, 3.5 years. 3.5 years he was here in this world. His time was truly short and when he did in his ministry here. We have time. We have effort. It takes time. Sometimes we do give up with people and say, they're never going to learn it. And we stop trying to teach them. Sometimes it's like our children just got so many other things going on. I can't keep on pouring my heart into them. We pour our hearts into them with certain things. We should do it with the Word of God. Second reason I believe that why discipleship is not always key or in priority is because people aren't always ready for what's taught. People aren't always ready for what Jesus is teaching. If I went and said in the room, hey, is everybody interested in what Jesus has to say? Is everybody really interested in what Jesus is teaching? Of course, we would say yes. But then we have these challenges and these things that are put forth and says, you know what? This is something that you need to change if you really want to be Christ-like. Then we're like, I don't see it that way. Oh, and then we begin to, the Pharisees, Outwardly, they were perfect. They did all these things. They thought they were right. They weren't. They were interested in religion and religious things. But the Pharisees hated Jesus. Why is that? Because they didn't really want to hear what he had to say. And that's what these challenges of being discipled by Christ, discipled by Jesus, is the idea. Let's see what he has to say when it comes to certain topics. Because sometimes we've been trained and we've been taught, and people just aren't always ready for what he's teaching. The multitudes were not ready to hear, hey, let people revile you, let people persecute you, just rejoice because your reward is going to be great in heaven. The person who doesn't know God isn't going to be ready for that. The person, when they tell you to be meek, when the person tells you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're just not ready for that. But he's looking to the group. The group says, I want to be a disciple, or I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower. He says, if you really want to be a follower, you really want to be a disciple, you really want to learn these are things. Poor in spirit. Learn how to mourn. Learn how to be meek. Learn to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mean, challenge after challenge after challenge. But he says, if you do that, then your joy is going to be found in me. And it's a challenge, I understand. And there's many people who turn away from it. In John chapter 6, it talks about how Jesus had preached a hard sermon. It says, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It says that there are those who said, I'm lining up. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to learn of him. I want to hear what he says. Jesus preaches a certain message. It says that the multitudes went away. The 12 were sitting there, and he looks at them and says, he says unto them, will ye go also away? And they're like, no. You're the ones that have the words of life. You're the ones that we want to be like. You're the ones. So my challenge to you this in this series would you let Jesus disciple you? And I'm not talking about me, because obviously I know I'm not Jesus. But would you let the words of God disciple you? And I'm not saying, hey, I know you're solid when it comes to the foundational principles. You know, I believe in baptism. I'm glad. And I believe in this, and I believe in that. I'm good. I can go disciple somebody. I'm talking about taking the next step after the 14 weeks. These disciples had already been saved. The 12 had already been received. They already had called at least 11 of them. They had already made that, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he sits down to them and says, if you really truly want to find happiness, you really truly want to find happiness, this is what you need to do. And I want to find out what that is. And that's my challenge is, will you let Jesus disciple you as we go through these verses and see what it is and say, if that's what Jesus says I need to do, that's what I want to do. I'm going to make that commitment that if this is what the Lord says I should do, I want to learn what he says. I've had different men. I look back over the years. I think about the different men mentor me or disciple me as a child and even as on through teenage years to, you know, grown-up years to even ministry years. And I look at different people that are people who have influenced me. And I, you know, are you going to listen to what's being said? When I ask pastors, sometimes I ask for advice, and I'm not always saying I want to be a disciple of this man because I don't always take his advice. I think about it and I pray about it. But I've had Pastor Thompson tell me before, don't ask my advice if you're not going to follow it. You know, when I work for you, if you're not going to follow it, why are you going to ask my advice? And I understand what he was saying. But at the same time, you know, if it's something that's a preference, you learn and you grow from other people. Sometimes I'll ask Miss Nikki, our nurse, about a question, and she'll be like, well, this is what you should do. How many of us here are doctors and nurses saying, hey, you should be doing this, and we don't really want to do it? It happens sometimes. Jesus is saying, if you really truly want to be a follower of mine, a disciple of mine, let's learn what he says, and let's do it. Don't just say, and why doesn't everybody do that? It takes time. And sometimes people just aren't ready for what's being said. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what really truth is. But let's look and see the challenges that Jesus gives his disciples, looking to a group of people that are believers on their way to heaven. Let's look in the upcoming weeks what he taught his disciples and see what we can learn. Today, I'm going to let Jesus disciple me during these verses, and I'm going to, whatever he says, I'm going to do. Let's have a word of prayer.